when I was a little boy growing up in suburban Chicago, attending Salt Creek Elementary School, local public elementary school, I would finish my math really early, and my teachers would allow me to go down to the library where I would ensconce myself with presidential biography and military history. And I had two older brothers, and my sanctuary was the Encyclopedia Britannica, where I just really poured through the text and the pictures. So really became a kind of a uniquely focused young boy, still with the interest of baseball and bicycles and all that kind of stuff. But American history was just, it was the bee's knees for me. At the same time, my father switched careers from being a guy coming up in the blue collar trades and then owning his own heating and air conditioning business. In the early 1970s, he decided to become a comedian, and he moved the family out to Hollywood, California. We renovated a burned out house of ill repute into a rooming house for artists, dancers, screenwriters, comedians. And my little sister was born in a home delivery up above in wonderful 1970s Hollywood hippie fashion, because my father kind of blended into the hippie generation and co-wrote with George Carlin and David Letterman and Chuck Barris.
The Unknown Comic.
Thank you, Chucky Baby. Hey, check this out.
So I learned my stagecraft by watching my father on stage. But when your father's a hippie comedian, the only way to be a rebellious teenager was to volunteer for Ronald Reagan and join the NRA and the Christian Coalition. My father used to tell audiences, I didn't know I had DNA like that. Later in life, my father and I would actually do a routine together called Like Father, Like Son, Not Necessarily. And we were just ourselves. Some folks sort of said, oh, you're just like Michael J. Fox in the TV show where, you know, his parents were hippies and he was the young conservative.
The curiosity is killing me. How on earth can you possibly justify doing what you did to me tonight? Go ahead, I'm listening.
It was a great adventure as a youth. I became the first in my family to graduate high school amongst my parents' generation and my two older brothers. But I also received scholarships, first in my family to go on to college, bit of graduate school in political science, and jumped out of the ivory tower to work professionally in politics, campaigns, and elections in my native Illinois. Practiced what I preach, became a county commissioner, twice unsuccessful for the state legislature, but I know what it's like to be in the arena of politics, as Teddy might say. And at the same time, as the son of a comedian and loving entertainment, the sound of laughter, I would attend Lincoln Day dinners, the big fundraisers for the Republican Party. And we were in the land of Lincoln, and we were 60 miles from Ronald Reagan's boyhood home. And despite the red, white, and blue and the great audiences, we usually had horrid programs, boring, uninspiring. And yet, with all these great ingredients of patriotism and public service and Abraham Lincoln, so I began doing comedic characters, including a ripoff of Guido Sarducci known as Father Giuseppe Republicano. It was Governor Blagojevich's term in office, and comedy was low-hanging fruit for, you know, not just the late show hosts, but for me doing what I was doing, just trying to add some fun and flavor to the Lincoln Day dinners. In Christmas 2001, after those horrible September 11th attacks, my sister-in-law, Cindy, gifted me a copy of The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt, the 1978 Pulitzer Prize winner by Edmund Morris. And it tells the story of young Theodore Roosevelt, in part battling his own Republican Party leadership, and tells his story up to the vice presidency and the death of McKinley. But I read that book, and what an old friend said, the penny dropped. I had the idea that perhaps my way to serve the country, I was too fat and too old at the age of 39 to join the military, but I thought, what if I brought Theodore Roosevelt to life on stage the way Hal Holbrook has done with Mark Twain? And he sets the bar, and I hope that I've come close or attained it. I've entertained audiences all throughout the country, full-time roughly since 2008.
What kind of legacy do you think Teddy Roosevelt has left behind for us today?
T.R., I think, acknowledged that most of his public record would probably eventually be so much dust in the windy streets of history. He's a good enough student of history, and himself in 1912 elected president for a year's term of the American Historical Association. He understands how easily forgotten, you know, the what seems all important and front page news today may not be remembered 50 or 100 years hence. So now we're going to be 120 years, this year after TR assumed the presidency. He would have thought his greatest legacy, the Panama Canal. And not unrelated to it, the steaming around the world of the Great White Fleet, something that no Dutch or English or Spanish armada had ever done, that a battle fleet would actually circumnavigate the globe. And so those issues, which were integral to American sovereignty and the defense of our country on both the Atlantic and the Pacific coast, that's probably what TR would determine his greatest legacy. The conservation legacy, and I'm so delighted to be coming to Iowa because there are so many leading Iowans who are to be credited with the achievements of the conservation agenda in that first decade of the 20th century, both before, during, and after TR's administration. They include Tama Jim Wilson, 16 years, the Secretary of Agriculture under McKinley, Roosevelt, and Taft, the Transfer Act that transferred the Bureau of Forestry from the Department of the Interior to the Department of Agriculture in 1905. That was done under Tama Jim Wilson. Called Tama Jim Wilson to differentiate him from Jefferson Jim Wilson, who was from Jefferson County and a United States Senator, also an Iowa Republican at that time. When I come to Iowa, we'll talk about Aldo Leopold and Ding Darling and Congressman John Fletcher Lacey. And these and others of Iowa, have a good deal of credit for the achievements of the Roosevelt administration and others in the area of conservation. And delighted to highlight, I think, what TR would have hoped was not just part of his legacy, but part of bringing to the attention of the need of the federal government to take action with regards to the issue of rural life, and specifically life on the farm, life on the ranch. One of TR's final presidential commissions was a presidential commission on rural life, chaired by Professor Liberty Hyde Bailey, who we know is one of the founders of the 4-H, and seminal in the idea of agricultural extension education and the modernization and the cleanliness and the hygiene on the farm with regards to the farm family, the education of the farm family. And it's kind of fun for me to come to Iowa and in performing and addressing, some of the, even beyond interesting, the entertaining aspects of Theodore Roosevelt's legacy, to kind of remind even the people of Iowa that they too are not only part of the legacy and part of the challenge that we have to advance the cause of conservation of our natural resources and our wildlife and its habitat, but that they really do have a lion's share of the credit as well. And it's kind of fun for me to come to Iowa and perhaps do a show that, because I uniquely craft it for my Iowa audience, is a little bit different and fresh and new for me. I'm too ill-disciplined to have a script, but bringing Theodore Roosevelt to life, I've got a minimum of 30 hours of different sorts of stories to be told in the first person. And again, able to sort of, for each audience, craft a new show by sampling those different stories.
Well, indeed. Let me put to rest a pernicious rumor. There is no truth in it. I have not returned because someone needs a hunting lesson. No, indeed. You may know that my daughter Alice famously said of me, "Father wanted to be the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral, and the baby at every baptism." Do you think I would miss my birthday in that case? Well, I must say, I like what you've done with the place.